quickly, Deuteronomy 29. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. Deuteronomy 29 verse 29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are what? Those things which are revealed. Those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever." Now, IT specialists will tell you that data that is not retrievable has no value. Amen. The secret things belong to God, and those which are revealed belong to us. We've just spent 5 minutes speaking the wisdom of God in a mystery. We've just spent 5 minutes speaking the things that He has freely given to us. But it is of no value until it's revealed to us. Amen. So, say after me, Father, I release my faith for the full manifestation of your wisdom I've declared. I release my faith for the full manifestation of the revelation of your divine secrets that I've just spoken. I believe I receive it. It's mine. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the best thing is God cannot lie. He can't lie. Can't lie. We've just practiced. We've just done this as practical Christianity. Because He said, we speak His wisdom in a mystery. Who understood what? If you understood what you said, raise your hands wave. You understood everything you said for 5 minutes. No. It's a mystery. Amen. But you just released your faith for it. Now here's the best thing about faith. Until you get it, you got to make up your mind. I'm not going to change my confession, because you've just said you've released your faith for the manifestation of God's wisdom you've just declared, the wisdom you need right now. We ended by saying, "I believe, I receive it." Amen. The Bible says, we've received an anointing from the Holy One, and we know all things. Right now, your spirit knows. Your spirit knows. It knows it. But until that information comes from here and becomes a revelation here that you can use, it just sits dormant there. But don't retract those words. You know, the last time I came, I said that He won't disturb you today. He might not disturb you tomorrow, Wednesday or Tuesday. He said, "You spoke wisdom, isn't it? Where is it?" That is the moment you shouldn't change what you've said. Just tell Him, "Go away. God's word is true, you're a liar. I received it. And until it comes, stay the same. I received it. I have it. It's mine." Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's the way to deal with the devil. Because if you ask yourself the question, you know, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created, you know, and then verse 3 says, and God said, "Let there be light." If light did not appear, what would God have done? I need an answer. What do you think? Anybody? If God said, "Light be," and light did not be, what would God have done? I need an answer. What would God have done? His job. Thank you. Yes, but then. But what if it did not happen? And what would he have done? what would he have done? Thank you. You are in the spirit. She had the answer. He would have said it again. He would have said it until, because yes, it's nice to imagine that God says it once. It happens once. Because now, if you stick to that theory, you might fall for the temptation. No, you might fall into the devil's. You might start thinking, okay, if he says it once, and I'm a son, I'm a mother, I just say it once. But you have to understand, it's a process. Amen. If God had, when you said it, if it didn't come, you would have said it again. And you keep saying it until it comes. And then if you read Mark 11, Jesus said you'll have what you say. Not what you said. It's what you say. So until you perfect saying what you want and getting what you say, you might have to say it over. You're not saying it because God is deaf. You're not saying it because you're deaf. It's a process. You are getting used to, because he created everything that we see by what he said. So just say it again. Keep saying it. Keep saying it. And keep saying it until it appears. Amen. Praise God. Let us, on a slight diversion, before you think it's all serious, what's going on around the world at the moment? Who knows? Oh, you guys are really spiritual. You don't watch TV. Amen. The Olympics. I'm bringing it up because something very, I mean, we all know it, but then it occurred to me that the cameramans are very partial. They only focus on the winner. On the winner. Nobody wants to know who came second. Nobody wants to know who came, who tried the best. Like that woman that fell over. She came last. She started crying. Nobody wants to know. It's only the winner. That's not partiality. That's just the way the world is. And the winner is the person who for 4 years saw it. Mo Farah. He has to. I've been praying for him. He's going to get born again. Amen. He tripped. The guy in blue pushed him. Can you imagine? Pushed him. I think the American one pushed him. But he stopped immediately. And he continued. The reason why I can bring up Mo Farah is because the BBC did a documentary about him, I think 2 or 3 weeks before the Olympics, how he trained. And that guy trained. So today, when he gets gold, and they say he's the first British, not English, because he wasn't born here, the first British to retain that gold, he worked for it, he saw it, and he went for it. We celebrate him today because there's once when he was in, I think he had to go back to where he went to Highlands, because I think the higher you go, the thinner the air or something like that. It was 5 a.m. It was all dark. Everywhere was dark. He had to train. He was up, upbeat. Amen. So when people were sleeping, he was preparing. Amen. But today, we're not celebrating him. Amen. I cannot say I know an Olympian. Because one of my students, he competed in the boxing, Joshua Buatsi. Okay, how many, because I want to know who followed any of the events. Did anybody follow boxing? Yes, so Josh Buatsi, when I say Joshua Buatsi, okay, cool. He was born in Ghana, but then, of course, he came here. Yes, he now represents Team GB. When he was going, he said, yes, he's going to get the gold. I said, yes. I wanted to keep telling him, you need to see yourself in that final. I need to see yourself knocking your opponent out. Now, he made a statement after he took the picture they took of him with his bronze. He won a bronze medal. He said he only dreamt that he could get this far. Now, I did not read those words properly. So I just said, my response was nice, well said and well done. But my brother picked up on it from my Facebook page and said, he said it. He said he only dreamt. And my brother's last line was, if you cannot picture it, you can't future in it. And that's the part I want to bring out. You have to be able to see it. You have to be able to see it. Whatever it is, you have to be able to see it. And then 3 John 2 is our, that's the starting ground for every. So the weakest one of all of us should be a complete picture of 3 John 2. And 3 John 2 says, I wish above all things that you prosper in all. Not just in the things you are qualified to do. Not just in the things you enjoy doing. Not just the things you desire. No, in all things. She wants you to prosper combing your hair. Wants you to prosper living, saying hello. He wants you in all things. And be in health. In health. It's lovely to have testimonies of how God healed you. But to be in health means you don't even fall sick again. And if you cannot picture you in 3 John 2, then go back to 3 John 2 and keep meditating. You see, because one, it is either you align to 3 John 2 or you align to what you strongly believe is yours. And the way to align with what God says is to agree. And if you're going to agree, you have to keep this in your face. In your face. You have to just keep meditating in it. Prosper in all things. At work, they must know. I was wrong with that one. I'm prospering in all things. You're not competing with anybody. No, no, no. It's too late. Still, you know, we're nothing. You know, maybe there's three of you, and then only one of you is going to become the boss at the end of the year. Maybe that's the standard of the world. That's how they're going to promote you guys. But guess what? My promotion comes from my God. And you strongly believe it. So you're not competing with them. If at all, you're competing. You're competing with 3 John 2, because 3 John 2 is you. You prosper in all things. And you are in. Imagine. Look at this. I just ended my second year at my new school. And I'm yet to call in sick. Yet to call in sick. I had a father who, when, I think in his working life that I can recall, there's only twice. Two times. The second time I was quite serious. What he had was malaria that he thought, okay, if he eats pepper soup, the thing will go. And then, the thing got him at home. No, he stayed at home for 2 or 3 days. Well, I saw a father who worked for 35 years, didn't call in sick. So why should I call in sick? No. They must know. They wonder, that guy is always in. What is the guy's secret? They can tell them, that is the picture of me. 3 John 2. I am in health. And I have a sound mind. Amen. And you have to do everything to get to that point where you can picture it. Just picture it. Not just 3 John 2. Every promise that God has made in his word is for you. And as I think the first time I came, I was here. That's the only time, if I can use the word selfish, that's the only time God permits selfishness. When you say, this book is God's word and is written for me. I don't know about you. It's written for me. And I do everything that I can to see myself as God's word sees me. Amen. I need to close on that one, because that's not what he... Have you been blessed by that? Because that was just by the way. Amen. God's admonition to... See, Joshua now. This book of the law shall not depart. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do. Then you will make your way successful. You do everything to picture yourself what the word says. You agree. Amen. And that brings me, that reminds me of something I read about Gloria Copeland's recollection of how God taught them faith. He said back then in the 60s, they had to make a decision. If they were ever presented with God's way or another way, they would always go God's way. Always go the word's way. It might seem foolish. It might appear unpleasing. But wisdom is known by what? Its fruits. It would produce. At the end, the word you chose will speak. Amen. The word of God you chose will speak. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. So therefore, get wisdom. And in all you're getting, get understanding. Wisdom is the principal thing. Amen. It's the principal thing. And then because 3 John 2 starts with, you prosper in all things. So let me start with money. Amen. The principal thing in a situation where there's a lack or, you know, bottleneck flow of finances, the principal thing is wisdom. Wisdom. Wisdom is the key issue. If you have challenges in your finances, the answer, the key thing, the key issue is wisdom. Because once you have the wisdom of God, you would know, or you would find out what is blocking the flow of your finances. Amen. Because even though we're in the world, we're not of the world. Amen. We don't live dependent on the economy of this world. We live dependent on the economy of heaven. How many of you, I'm blessed to have a father that's a diplomat. When they send, for example, the Nigerians, when they send a delegate to the United Kingdom, Nigeria takes care of them. Everything they need is supplied, provided for them. In the same way, that's the same way it is with us. So if there's a financial problem or challenge, you're going through financial challenge, the principal thing is wisdom. And that's what you need to go for. Because once you have the wisdom of God, that's it. That's it. Once you have the wisdom of God, you've got the answer. You have the solution. So get wisdom. Before we go to the next verse, you can replace wisdom with the word of God. Because wisdom to us is the word of God. So right there in verse 4, where it says wisdom is principal, you can say the word of God is the principal thing. Because where would you find the wisdom of God? Where would you find the wisdom of God? In his word. In his word. You find the wisdom, you find his wisdom in his word. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. I want to read verse 5. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him do what? Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. Just ask of God. So, Father, your wisdom is the principal thing. I need your wisdom. And then you release your faith for that wisdom. Believe you receive it, and you'll have it. It says it there. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. Just ask. Father, I need your wisdom. Amen. And let's read that again. It says, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So just ask. to buttress that, there's a, I think he, Kenneth Copeland was experiencing a pain in his knee. So he had done what he normally does. You know, you just start confessing God's word. You know, he loves, I think it's Matthew 8:17. He loves Isaiah 53:5. And then he loves Galatians 3:13. So he puts them together. He says, you know, you yourself, you took all my infirmities. You carried all my diseases. By the stripe of Jesus, I'm healed. You've redeemed me from the curse of the law. So he did that. He did that for days, weeks. The pain was still there. So he got to the point, he thought, okay, you know what? He's done everything God's word has told him to do in practice to receive his healing in the knee. Nothing has happened. So he canceled all his itinerary, everything. He likes doing that. So he went. He has a cabin in the woods. He went to lock himself away. Going with arming himself with James 1:5. Because if you've done everything you know to do, if you've done everything God expects you to do, and you haven't seen or experienced the supernatural, that means there's something still left for you to do. Amen. Remember we started with the secret things of God. That means it hasn't been revealed yet. Amen. It doesn't mean that God this time is testing you. Let me see how long. No. None of that. So that means there's something you still have to do that you're still not doing. You can't just say, you know what? I did everything the pastor said, and I still haven't received it. You know, maybe this thing does not work. He just worked for you. Amen. Did you get that? It's fine. Yes, frustration has set in. You just get frustrated. Say, I've done everything. And that means this thing does not work. For you, it just worked. Because Jesus said, you have what you see. And he just said, this thing does not work for me. It has worked. Praise God. So, it took this. That means I'm lacking wisdom. So I'm going to lock myself further. I'm setting myself in agreement for your wisdom concerning that knee, because I've done everything you've asked me to do. So the first day, as he was settling in, God said, coffee. He let it slide, kept on, he did all his, spiritual things. Spiritual gymnastics, thank you very much. The next morning, woke up, coffee, stopped. Because at that time, he was a pilot, and to keep himself awake, he loved coffee. He drank a lot of coffee. And in his testimony, he said, you pick up the coffee, teacup like that. He said he had, his hand was permanently sometimes like that because he drinks a lot of coffee. And God said, he woke up, and God said, coffee, stop. Kept on meditating, confessing. The next morning, he heard, so because he heard it, as he got there, he heard it, coffee. The first thing, the second one, he heard coffee. When he heard it the third time, he said, okay, God, you want me to, so now I asked God, is it that you want me to give up coffee? I said, yeah, that's it. So he made up his head. And then prior to this, he made up his mind that whatever God asks him to do, without any form of, without questioning, he will do it. Whatever he hears God tell him to do, he'll do it. So building up until that time, he had been doing that for several years. So when he had coffee and yes, I want to give up coffee, that was it. The Father, from today, I'm never, ever going to drink coffee. And that instant, the pain left. It hasn't returned yet. Amen. So, if you've done everything that you know to do and you still haven't gotten what you set off to get, that means there's still one more thing that you have to do. And that the one thing that would unlock it for you is the wisdom of God. And I mentioned something I want to touch on. God doesn't test you. No. God doesn't, you're not the one he tests. Imagine if you go and buy, if you're agriculture, if you're commercial farmer, and then you have, you need seeds. The people that sell the seeds, do they now stop rain from falling on your farmland? Say, let me test this man. No, they don't. whether he likes it or not, sunshine, you know, there'll be sunshine, there'll be rain, all of that. It's the seed that they test. So that what they have written on the package is what you get. It's not you that God tests, it's what he tests. God expects that every time his word makes contact with prepared ground, God's expectation that it will bring forth 30, 60, or 100 fold. So you're not the one God is testing. It's his word. Remember, 4 different types of ground. And only one it walked in. But that one it walked in, God's expectation is 100 fold. Now I know Jesus talked about 30, 60, and 100. You can liken that to his good, acceptable, and perfect will. The choice is yours. If you want to go for good, it's still yielding. 30% yield, or 30-fold yield is still good. But God's expectation, because it's his word he has tested, his expectation is every time you commit to his word, you get 100%. I'm sorry, 100-fold return. It's a good thing, Jesus said. So, but blessed are you. Your eyes see, your ears they hear. So we are not the ones that, it falls on stony, it falls on by the wayside. The second was stony ground. That you can just liken that. You can liken that to things that are still doing in your life that not necessarily sin. But what it's doing is it's denying the seed of the word of God to get depth of soil in your heart. Those things, the choice is, if you want to experience 100-fold return, you have to stop those things, to get rid of them. Everything that's denying the word of God access to your heart, you. It's not God, God remove it. No. You want 100-fold, you get rid of it. The third is thorns. And Jesus likened thorns to the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. So that means thorns simply means that you have granted the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of everything to compete with soil in your heart and God's word. The choice is yours. Amen. And to help you, 1 Peter 5, verse 6, 7, 8. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. Casting all your care, for he takes care of you. So that takes care of the cares of this world. Please don't pray to God. Lord, take it. It's worrying. It's worrisome thoughts that I'm having. You take. No. He said, you cast. You have to cast it on him. You have to. Worrying is a habit. And one is just simply thinking on the negatives that might, the possibility of the negatives happening. Why don't go for the certainty of what he has said? Replace those thoughts with his certainty. One would have to give, the one you focus on. Amen. The deceiver, I like that one. You know, because it's possible to get rich and then start putting trust in what's in the bank account. I've told myself, if that ever happens, the kingdom always needs money. I would empty that account and take, because my trust can never be in those riches. Because the only time Jesus used impossibility is with somebody whose trust is in his riches. He says, it's impossible for this person to enter the kingdom of God. That simply means the way God does things. Because somebody who trusts his money, you not tell him to give it away. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Until your trust is in the one who blessed you with it. To still deny deny the word of God access into your heart. It's no longer God that's stopping it. It's now you. And lots of other things. You have God. What more can you want? imagine? You have God. What more? Romans 8. Thank you, Jesus. You reminded me of Romans 8. I wanted to touch on Romans 8, verse 32. I love this verse. If I should tell you how God gave me this verse, you know, a little bit of bitter and sour. On Friday, I was at the funeral service of the mother of one of my students. She passed on July the 9th. But they read from Romans 8, and they skipped verse 32. I left that service rejoicing because I found something in verse 32. Romans chapter 8 and verse 32. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. He delivered Jesus. He gave him away. Some people like to say, because Abraham gave Isaac without questioning. If God had not spoken loud enough, Abraham would have killed Isaac. How do you know that? How do you know that? Yeah, he was prepared to give him. Some people say, okay, because Abraham, a man, did that. God too. No, no, before the foundation of the world, God had already given his son. Amen. So let's continue. But delivered him up for us all. How shall he not? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You have God. What more can you ever want? What more? What more can you want? So the lust of other things should not even exist. I have God. Amen. Amen. And those things are the things that deny the word of God, the wisdom of God, from gaining access into your own heart. Amen. Praise the Lord God. Hallelujah. Now, we've read from God's word that wisdom is the principal thing. You know, we've seen that it's the key issue. That is what we need. You know, what's it called? Secrets belong unto God. The things are revealed to us. The things are revealed, they are to us and for our own children. So the question now is, how can I walk? How can I walk in the wisdom of God? What can I do practically? Pastor, what can I start doing today to cause me to walk in the wisdom of God, which you've told us is the principal thing? We started with 1 Corinthians 2, where it says, you speak the wisdom of God. I didn't say that. The Bible says, you speak the wisdom of God every time you pray in the Holy Ghost. That next time you get stuck, you don't know what next to do. You know you've done everything. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Or if you want to give yourself a start, you say, okay, Father, I'm setting myself. I'm standing on your word. I'm going to declare your wisdom and the mystery. Your wisdom concerning, I was going to say this. The reason why this came to our heart was because, how many of you remember December last year? I said this time next year. So it's this year. I must take the keys to my own house. Praise God. Debt free. All paid for from the bank of heaven. It was July, June. I said, hey God, I told you. I'm not going to retract it. I'm not going to give excuses for God. Amen. So that means I need to discover the wisdom of God of how to buy that first house without going to the bank for a mortgage. It's a wisdom. So whenever I'm setting myself on your word, I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm speaking your wisdom. Your word says, I'm speaking your wisdom. Your word says, I'm speaking the things you've freely given to me. And I strongly believe you have given me a debt-free house. Amen. He has given the things that he has prepared. Amen. If you love living in a flat, by all means, in a flat, it's a 4-bedroom, detached, garden at the back, parking up in front. Amen. And just pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, this is one thing you have to do. Every time you end that session, you have to act on it. Because you've spoken the wisdom of God. So release your faith. Say, Father, I release my faith for the manifestation of your wisdom I've spoken in a mystery. I release my faith for it. I believe I receive it. It's mine. And go on with your business. Don't go on trying to find out what to do up here. Listen, the answer is here. Let us read. Is it Proverbs? Proverbs 20, please. I'm rounding. Uh-oh, I need to round up. Proverbs 20 and verse 5, I believe it is. Proverbs 20 and verse 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. The answer to that problem, the answer to that challenge is in your heart, but like deep water. It is now your responsibility to draw it out. And by praying in the Holy Ghost, by praying in the Spirit, you're drawing it out. We live by faith, so you have to use your faith. Father, I release my faith for the manifestation of the revelation of your secrets that I've declared. Your wisdom concerning this issue, then you name the issue, concerning me buying my house, debt free, in Croydon. I believe I receive it. It's mine. There you go. Now, the devil would love to check. He would always bring thoughts. Employ him. So every time he brings that thought, you go to God's word. Go to God's word that you're standing and say, okay, I know you're blind, but just in case you can hear, you read God's word. I spoke God's wisdom concerning this issue in a mystery so that you have no access to it. And I believe that I received it. It's mine. Stay there until it comes. Now, if time goes by and it still hasn't come, collapse whatever you do and just take a day or two off. Say, okay, Lord, I want to hunt to find out what it is I need to do. Because as far as you are concerned, provision has already been made. You have already prepared it. I just need your wisdom in this issue. What I need to do to connect and get it. And then you just go. See, God always He always speaks. The question is, are you tuned to his frequency? So now the responsibility is now down to us to make sure we do everything that we can to get rid of whatever it might be that is hindering us from hearing him so that we can hear him. And the best part is, Jesus said, in quoting the Old Testament, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. God knows that your life is dependent on his word that he speaks. The question is, have you placed yourself in the position to hear him? Because once you put yourself in that position where you can hear him, you've given yourself to God's word, you're standing on the word of God, you are not prepared to compromise. You're not prepared to, oh, let me try this. Father, you talk to me the same way I talk to my child. The same way people talk to me, you speak to me. You put it, you make it a commitment to ensure you can hear. Amen. You will hear. Praise God. And I'm going to end on this. Your victory is in God's word. Amen. Your victory is in the word of God. No more you give yourself to the word of God, the more you're soaking yourself in your victory. Before you know it, that victory will become apparent. Amen. It will become apparent to all. Amen. You go from the person that kept saying that because that person is crazy. that young pastor from Croydon is in this country, buy house, 100% mortgage free. Don't worry. I shall be here to testify. Amen. Because I believe it with my heart that living in a house 100% debt free has already been prepared for me. I just simply need to connect with his wisdom. Amen. And I'm doing that. Praise God. Amen. I will be back to testify. So don't worry. You will be the one everybody called crazy, but you end up being the one with what you kept saying is yours. You understand? Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Have you learned something this morning? Yeah, stand to your feet and give God praise. Hallelujah. Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. Give God praise. Father, we thank you. Glory be to your name, O God. Glory be to your name, O God. We give you the praise and we give you the honor. We praise and we bless your holy name. Glory be to your name, O God. Glory be to your name, O God. Father, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We give you all the glory, Father. We thank you. Our victory is in your word. Your wisdom we need to live in the victory you've prepared for us is in your word. Therefore, we make a commitment. We make a commitment. We make the commitment to make your word the most important thing in our lives. We meditate in your word. We stand on your word. And we choose to confess your word. Even after your word has brought forth the manifestation of what we were seeking for, we choose to continue confessing your word. Because our victory is in your word. Glory be to your name, O God. We give you all the praise and all the glory. It's in the name of Jesus we have prayed. Amen. 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 Amen.